Well, good evening, everyone. It's February the 18th, 2015. This is the Master Builder Call for February. And welcome everyone on the call this evening. And appreciate you taking the time and the effort to be here. I always like to do, and I want to welcome right away Michael Kirkab, who was to be with us last week, but got stuck in LAX. Mike, I'm glad you're here tonight.
Thanks for having me. I apologize again about that. It was airport conditions that I just couldn't get out of.
Well, we limped along without you, so we're glad you're here to bolster the call tonight. So tonight, as advertised, if you read the email, and I hope you did, is continuing in Mike's book about the working tools of leadership and the application of those working tools in your everyday life, in the various aspects of your life. The Mason's Lead Better program reference your family, your job, your community, and certainly in Masonry, in Mike's book does that as well. So just a quick thing about the Mason's Lead Better program. Just a couple of things I always like to say. First of all, I'm Mike Clevenger, and I see a lot of the names on the board here that have been with us before, but forgot to tell everyone who I am. And I want to welcome those who are listening to this at a later time. As you know, the recordings are now on, the prior recordings are now on the website, masonsleadbetter.com. So if you missed one, go back and pick those up, and this one as well will be added probably tomorrow after the call. But anyway, I started to talk about Mason's Lead Better just very, very briefly tonight. Mason's Lead Better, of course, is, as we describe it, is a personal journey of improvement. And during the live workshops, which are going on in Ohio, we're about half done now, you'll find, if you haven't had yours yet, you'll assess yourself and discover the values that are important to you. You'll will help you recognize your leadership skills and some of the other areas in which you excel, make you, as we talk about, being aware of what's going on, and then help you just reflect upon the importance to your family and the other people in your life. And we spend the time, there's a lot of favorite parts I have, but one is how we walk through a little exercise of remembering some of the things that Masonry has brought to us and the positive impact through people and through circumstances that Masonry has made on our life. And, of course, then one of the core pieces of Mason's Lead Better is what we're going to talk about tonight is, you know, we hear these lessons, we hear these tools, we hear them in our ritual, and we're going to talk about tonight, as we do in the workshop, about how we take these lessons and these tools and apply them in a practical way to serve those areas of life I just mentioned, how to help your family with those, support you in your chosen profession, in your job, whatever level you are in your job, and certainly help improve your community. And ultimately, the purpose of improving ourselves is that we can apply ourselves and improve our lodge and then certainly improve the entire fraternity of Freemasonry. So that, in a nutshell, is Mason's Lead Better. And as I said, if you've not had your workshop yet, it's an experience I'm sure you'll enjoy. Well, why don't we get back to you, Michael, and and talk about Chapter 3 in the Working Tools of Leadership, and that's the common gavel. And if I will, I'll just set it up, if you don't mind, about we know that the ritual gives us this tool and talks to us about using it to knock off some of those rough edges of our lives. In other words, it says that we should rid our hearts and minds of the vices and superfluities of life. And those are the things that are bad for us, right?
Absolutely.
And I got to thinking about the word superfluities and actually decided, hey, I'll just look at the dictionary, you know. And if you think about that word and what it means, it's about excesses. It's about having something that you don't need. Matter of fact, one definition talked about luxuries. So I guess I would look at it as removing from your life things that aren't good for you. Is that kind of a way you might see it, Michael?
Absolutely. And, you know, from with the way I present it in the book is to kind of back up, we're taking the gavel and we're acting upon those lines that we traced using the 24-inch gauge and the compasses. So looking at it like that, we take the 24-inch gauge and, you know, how we divided up our day to say, okay, you know, what superfluities, what embellishments, what excesses have we removed by, you know, or plan to remove by using that, i.e., you know, limiting the amount of television or social media or, you know, whatever else that we find ourselves, you know, sucking our time out of our true productive time that we need for our families and our work, and then obviously for resting our bodies and minds and spirits. And then, you know, the compasses too. You know, the lines that we trace to keep our passions in due bounds. You know, one of the first examples I give in the common gavel is in the workplace, the last minute task requests outside our normal scope of responsibilities, right? You know, sometimes we're asked to do something at work. We already have a pile of work that needs to be done. Right, we have deadlines to meet.
Right,
but then someone comes up to us and says, "Hey, you know what? We got this going on. I really need you to take care of this." And you're looking at it, going, "I can what? Really?
Yeah, that's not in my list. I put it. You know, it's not my list. I had on my task list this morning. Right?
Right. So it's easy if we haven't drawn that line with our compasses to kind of fly off the handle and go, wait a minute, that's not my job, right? Or I don't have time for this. But if you stop and look at it, right, you're being asked to take care of something. Chances are not because somebody wants to give you something else, but because you've proven yourself to be responsible, you've proven yourself to be valuable, and somebody who can get something done. I mean, it's happened I can honestly say almost every time I've been asked to do something that's been way outside of the scope of work, that somehow in another job or in some other facet of life, that skill that I picked up doing that new task that I'd never done before found its way in, and I was actually going, wow, I'm glad I did that, because now I have a way to approach this and actually get it done properly. So it's funny how that works out.
Well, I picked up, and correct me if I'm wrong, so the 24-inch gauge, you mentioned that. The gavel should remind us maybe that you used the example of getting interrupted with something that you had not planned to do that day, and it was you were approached because you had the skill to do it, so... The common gavel is is should remind us of an attitude mm-hmm. that we should take. That it, I hear it, you saying, when that task is thrown at us, we shouldn't say, "Oh my, are you nuts? I don't have time for that." You should almost feel like it's an honor, and know that you've got the capabilities to deal with it. I think I heard you say that.
A little bit. I think the biggest point I'm trying to make with the gavel is that mm-hmm. it's a tool of action, right? So.
Well, I was going to ask you. You said it's a instrument of force, and I was mm-hmm. going to ask you to explain that.
Sure. So it is, right? So it's where we act upon something. So when we're asked to do, and I'm going to go back to this first example, if we're asked to do something, our mind is going, okay, you know, how am I going to act, right? Am I going to act within the bounds that I've traced with my compasses and act properly? Or am I going to fly off the handle and lose it because I don't feel like I have any more time? And that action could either be saying, well, sir, I don't feel that I have the time or ability to do this because of this other thing, right? That's also an action to say, I don't feel I have the time, communicating to our bosses or our managers or whoever that, you know, thank you for the opportunity, but I really don't feel I can take this on effectively. And then at least they understand that, okay, well, maybe I can help them, you know, because I really need this job done. But at the end of the day, like I said, it's an instrument of action, an instrument of force, and we use it when we're ready to act on something. So an action to that could be, oh, you know what, I do recognize this. I'm prepared in my mind to know that these things come up in my job. So I'm going to act on it and take this as an opportunity and say, yep, let's do this, right? Let's get this done and show that I can do it. Or the other way, saying, well, no, sir, I appreciate the opportunity, but, you know, is there another way we can get this done?
Gotcha. I'm getting some – I'm going to hit the – I want to make sure. Michael, are you still there?
I am still here.
I want to make sure I didn't mute you. I was getting some background noise, and sometimes that gets amplified on the recording. So when we get to the Q&A, you can get unmuted and talk. So you used the term action. So the common gavel demonstrates action, and I was thinking just the way it's used in Lodge. The master has a gavel, and he raps to call attention to a brother or have something done, and that can be used. And I think you referenced this when in your book, that could be used in the wrong way.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when we first learn to use a hammer, okay, I've hit my thumb, right? Whenever we use a tool for the first time, it's a little bit scary because there is the possibility of getting hurt or hurting someone else. It's no different here. If our actions, the use of our gavel, hurts ourselves or somebody else because we didn't quite do it right, and that's definitely a possibility, because it is an instrument of force. I really like what Pike said about it. I quoted him in the book about force, unregulated or irregulated force is wasted energy, and it's dangerous.
And you can think about that in the leadership. In a leadership role, especially in the fraternity, that the use of, and I guess I was implying the use of the gavel and your title along with the gavel can be used to in an improper way as a leader. You show it as you say, an instrument of force, and you say, look, I'm holding the gavel, that means I'm in charge, you follow what I say, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But that, you know, and I know, and probably most of the guys on the call know, that being a leader in using force or your title to get something done doesn't really work a lot of times.
It, for the moment, it may seem easy, right, to say, you know what, I am in a position where I can cause, change the
right.
way I want it to go, so I'm going to use it because that seems like the easy thing to do, not just at work or in lodge, but, you know, I can't tell you how many times, I've wanted to say to my children, well, because I said so.
Well, that's a normal parent response, I think,
right? I'm guilty of it. I've said it.
How many times I know my son growing up, why? Because,
yeah.
you try to explain, but you get to the point, you go, because I said so,
Yeah.
Maybe this is jumping around a little, but going back to as I thought about the gavel and the fact that it's can be defined as excesses or things you don't need, that I looked at it in general as just as Masons, we should use it, whether it be in a leadership role or in your life, to remove things from your life that are not good for you. And that common gavel reminds you that that is your job as a Mason.
Oh, absolutely. And, I think there, we can look at the difference of proactive and reactive actions using the gavel, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we're proactive in doing just that, if we're being proactive, we're preparing something for various outcomes, right? By removing those challenges that present themselves. Whereas if we're always reactive, we're just kind of swinging it every which way as problems arise, if you will.
Right.
So
indiscriminately as a force of evil, if you will. I've got this
evil or
instrument
just
of death, and I want to use it on you. Well, I think you and along that line, the comments you just made about clearing the path, I mean, that is a definition of a leader and the way a leader should operate. He's there to remove obstacles from those he is attempting to lead. So if you have a team, you're the team leader. It's your job to get out there and swing the machete and knock down the weeds so you can get through the jungle, right?
Yep, absolutely.
And so that gavel is that instrument. And you talk about that in this proactive behavior in your book. I made another note in your book, and I was looking for it now. So what about the mental, and I also thought about the mental aspect of using that gavel and I thought about, the gavel as you begin your day, that you should begin your day with positive thoughts, and the gavel might remind you that you're to use it to bang away at those bad thoughts that begin your day and start on something positive.
That's a great point. I mean, waking up first thing in the morning, when we see whoever it is in the morning, the very first person we see, well, I guess besides the person in the mirror, along with the person in the mirror, how are we acting towards those people first thing in the morning? Are we letting our grogginess set the tone for the day with our interactions with someone else? That's a great point. If the very first person we greet, whether it's our wives, our children, or our friends, our coworkers, how are we greeting them? Is it with a smile? Hey, you know what? It's great to see you today. Here we go. Let's go do some more stuff. Or are we, you know, the very first action, you know, the very first use of our gavel for the day, is it less than cordial, or, you know, something that sets the
tone?
Yeah,
don't talk to me
until
I've had my coffee, right?
Right.
So that would be, you know, that would be not a good use of the gavel.
Counterproductive even.
Exactly.
Right?
I was looking for the word you used. Yeah.
Who's going to be ready to follow your lead into tackling whatever you need to tackle that day?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're going to avoid you, right?
Exactly.
Oh, no, sorry, I got to take care of this. I can't help you out with that today.
and that goes back to, you know, beginning your day in a positive manner, and then as a leader. We do this in the Masons Lead Better workshop, but we talk about having a positive growth mindset as a leader. And the gavel is the tool that you can bang away at those bad thoughts and get them out of your head as a leader, and be, even though there are challenges facing you in your personal life or your lodge or your job, recognize that there are solutions. And the gavel, I guess just I'm thinking personally, that the gavel would help me realize that, hey, it's my job to rid myself mentally of some of these bad thoughts, begin my day positively, interact with people positively.
I think that speaks a lot to the idea of, again, the gavel is this instrument of action, and what kind of action is it? Are we using it for? Is it proactive? And so when we start our day, and we decide that we're going to use our gavel to be proactive and start the day in that positive manner, I think it definitely is along those same lines. In the book, I touch on triggers that cause reactionary responses, right, versus the proactive responses that sometimes, you know, we don't think about it because they're just kind of always there, so it's very easy to forget about them. You know, budget constraints, disrespectful language out of, you know, fatigue, illness, all these things, fear. All these things that kind of, these emotions that linger in the background at all times that are very easy to cause this reactionary response if somebody says the wrong thing or somebody doesn't do something the right way, our reaction to that can set, you know, again, can hurt ourselves or someone else.
Yeah. Some of the things we talked about last month about the compasses, to recognize that these frustrations are going to hit you, and remember that we have promised ourselves to circumscribe our desires and keep our passions in check. And so... having this proactive gavel with us, and then using the compasses to react in a proper manner seems like a pretty powerful way to approach a day.
That's a great combination of tools to use.
Yeah. What else did you? You know, I've read it, but for the guys who haven't seen or read your book, what else have you talked about in the book that we haven't covered? And
I think continuing along the lines of being proactive. I mean, we've talked about work and home a little bit, but in lodge, right?
Right.
Here we are. You know, we're in February, right? So we're. It's only February, but yet it's already February.
Right, gotcha. I hear you. I know what you mean.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you are an active master of your lodge right now, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
And so we're looking at, you know, how are we communicating with our lodges and our officers as we go on, not just to get through the year and accomplish the goals of the year, but any, you know, longevity of the lodge and to continue the vision of the lodge as a whole. How are we communicating with new members and up-and-coming officers to make sure that we're being proactive to, you know, make that happen?
Right. We talk about that in our workshop, Mike, about passing along knowledge. Part of a leader's responsibility is to pass on knowledge and lead with a longer view in mind, which you just mentioned. So you're, as master, you're sometimes struggling with the things that are that you have to do to be master for this particular Masonic year, but you also have to, as a leader, have to be concerned with what your senior warden needs or your junior warden needs, right?
Yep. Or even, you know, any other brother coming up the line. You know, how is it going to affect them? Do they want to make sure that they're ready when they hit in any other chair or any other committee position? And then also helping our wardens bring up the deacons into, you know, being ready to jump into an elected chair, you know. So
right.
Same
right.
Thing.
So the gavel should remind us of being proactive in lodge as a leader is part of your responsibility as a Mason.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good point. I've had a lot of discussions lately in my own lodge with other members, past masters and others in the fraternity about we have somehow lost some of our what's called institutional knowledge. In other words, we have capable brothers in our lodges who have knowledge, whether they be officers or not, in the failure to provide a system so they can pass this knowledge on.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, you know, some of the stuff that's not written down. And also some direct failure of lodges to lead with this longer view. We have quite a bit of discussion about the fact that we have a progressive line system. In other words, you serve a year and move up, and we have an institutional barrier that we get a new CEO every year of our lodge. and that CEO... A new CEO every year, if he's not being proactive on a long-term basis, in other words, looking down the road, you know, it's confusion. So all this from the gavel, right?
Yeah, and you know, the gavel is this instrument of force. It's action. It's action that we use, whether it's in the lodge, at work, or at home. But overall, I think the big thing is that if we step out even bigger picture, since we're talking about, you know, big picture visions, Masonic action is a force in society, right? So if we look at, and it's easy to get down in the minutia of the operation too, but if we kind of, you know, look up a little bit bigger at a 30,000 foot view. The Masonic action, the Masonic force in society can be that force that inspires future leadership, right? It can provide hope. It can provide charity. But it takes that action of that institution that you just mentioned in order to do that.
Well said. Well said. We, as I've conducted the workshops in Ohio, we do a little, I think I mentioned before, we do a little visioning exercise, and just we dialogue about what we would like to see masonry look like in Ohio. What would be the condition if everything was just really, really great? And I several times hear that masonry can be recognized as an organization that is concerned about the greater good, is concerned about society, that brings about societal change based on its values, based on the beliefs. I hear brothers saying that. So that's a whole thing of like you call it global action.
Mm-hmm. Well, masonry to me is really the definition of think globally, act locally, in that we're thinking globally of, you know, how we can, you know, make the world a better place, but how much more local can you get than improving yourself?
There you go.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's where it all begins. And I often say, if before you can lead others, you better be able to lead yourself. If you can't lead yourself, then how do you expect to step out there and make the way for others? And that's where all change begins, changing yourself. So anyway, well, let's do this. Good stuff. I'm interested to hear what questions and comments that the brothers on the call may have along the lines of what we've been talking about, or you may have a comment about something else.
I'd like to reverse it a little bit, if I may.
Okay, go.
I'd love to hear how some of the brothers on the call tonight are, you know, what kind of proactive steps have been taken in their scenarios, right? Whether it's in their lodges or in the communities, at home, at work, where they've been able to say, you know what I learned in lodge really helped me. You know, the
good
teachings of Freemasonry. I think, you know, here's an instance where it really helped me.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's great. So, I'm going to turn on the, and if you want to get into the queue, and related instance that the masonry has provided you the tools, lessons to be proactive in an area of your life, hit *6 on your phone. You'll pop into the queue, and I'll unmute you, and we'll be more than happy to listen to you share your experiences. That'll be great. This is a dialogue, and dialogues, everyone gives a little piece, and everybody walks away a little smarter, hopefully. So anybody brave enough to be first? Well, I don't see, everybody must be.
That reminds me of something. There's a saying that, you know, two people meet, they each have a dollar. They exchange dollars. And now they each have a dollar still. But two people meet, they exchange ideas. Now they each have at least two ideas. Each.
There you go. That's exactly what a dialogue is. Now we got, now see, I've scared guys into coming into the queue. Brother Dave, how are you this evening?
Michael, I'm very good. I just tell you, I've been kind of suffering with a little bit of that low-grade flu or whatever it is going around, is, you know, with the cold and all. So my, I've been listening. I think I've caught most of the stuff you're talking about, but as far as proactive things that we're trying to do relative to our own Masonic lodges and how that affects you know, what we're learning here or what we're able to, how that benefits us. Well, two things. One is I picked up from that Restoration Foundation that, of course, you attended back in August.
Sure.
To try that, to implement the Masonic Diploma, which was the very nice certificate that was used then as a, with a cover in it that you could put your dues card and carry it with you. It was a very nice, beautiful item, and it gave you a lot, quite a bit of distinction. We used it as a incentive for folks to pay their dues before the annual meeting. So
oh,
we provided it to them for free. But I'll tell you that there wasn't full unanimity on that within the lodge. There were guys that were concerned about the cost, about whether we would do it again another year, all kinds of questions, whether it was right for us to give anybody anything that, other than the dues card, those kinds of things. And so it was not unanimous, obviously passed, but it kind of taught me that, and I kind of discovered that it really didn't matter whether I had talked about it in advance or carry. In fact, I had talked about it from August until I presented it in October. But I actually gave them more time to come up with all kinds of arguments why they didn't want to do it. So in some respects, it did teach me, some of us, that, you know, nothing's easy here. And
no.
I think you explained that in your leadership. You know, identified all the things we want to have accomplished, and then you identified all the things we're doing. I mean, it's like it's 180 out. I mean, we're not
right.
Doing what we're trying to be, what we're supposed to, what we want to have done. And as you were
exactly.
Talking to the leaders, really the guys that are supposed to be making the changes. The other thing that we did, but here's something that I like to consider this, and I know your guys at North New England are very much involved in this, and they started that Central Ohio or Columbus area Freemasonry page. And it kind of started posting stuff in there about when lodges needed a little help or they had an
right.
Opportunity that came up. Well, I took advantage of that, and we put our, we had a fellow craft, or actually had an EA who was getting ready for his fellow craft, had done his return, but we were not going to be able to get to him until another month or so. And when Chad Simpson announced that the Arts and Sciences needed a candidate for Thursday, I saw this as a great opportunity, not only for him to get the experience of going through a fellow craft degree in another lodge, but for our guys to actually be in a position of going over and supporting him and learning something whether they want to or not. I'm being serious about this. We almost have to do that some ways. And I know that we're talking about the gavel and being using some force, and we want to do it in a kind way, and we do the best we can.
I get you.
But,
yeah.
But the down and dirty of it is somebody's got to take some action, and not everybody's going to want to do that. And you just have it. Just kind of have to take that. You have to have a thicker skin. And I'd like to. I think some of the things we learn in Masonry is how to develop that skin, how to be able to take that. That criticism, that...
good point, Dave. Yeah,
yeah, circuit, mm-hmm. What do they call that? Talking on a level, all that, you know, being very upfront with people. That's a good thing. That's a very good thing. And sometimes it hurts, but it's important, I think. And, you know, my wife says it's helped me. So I think it's... I think she's right, but... if she says it's helped me, then, you know, like you said, you have to take a lot of, sometimes you're not so sure if things are changing, but when you, other people say you're changing, then you probably are. But
yeah,
that's
I agree with you.
And there's other things coming down the pike. I think that we need to keep doing that kind of thing. We need to keep our guys, our degree, our guys that are, in fact, and one last item, in March, I'm going to have a guest lecturer for the fellow craft degree for the guy that will be going through his fellow craft, which is the other guy, that's the EA. That's why I wanted to have this first guy get through it over at Arts and Sciences. because this guy needs to do it in March, and he's got this particular candidate he wants to do it for. And so, but I want him to be. So here's the other side. I bring somebody from another lodge, who's got his own culture, his own way of doing things, and bring him into our lodge, and have him share his stuff. I think when we start doing that, I think it really opens up our minds and really helps these guys see things that they wouldn't necessarily see. So that's my comment.
Now, Brother Dave, you had mentioned that how you were able to find a lodge for that fellow craft to receive a courtesy degree. Was that an online page that was created for that purpose for
right,
lodge
right.
assistance?
Yes,
and I think that's great. That shows a proactive nature to reaching out to a new generation of Masons whose lives are online, whose lives are electronic.
You understand that he was trying to solve a problem.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't necessarily going out and contacting people and say, look, I need to bring other guys in here to do this degree work.
Right.
What he was saying is, I don't have a guy ready to go, and I need some help.
Yep.
That's the community. That was the nature of the query.
That's great.
So, and that has happened. In fact, as you recall, Mike, we did that. You got two mics. It's tough. But
yeah.
We had the same
Call
thing.
Call him Young Mike.
Mike, do you remember a couple years ago, you had three candidates that all had to get their same degree, all three degrees the same day because they were deploying overseas.
Right.
And that really put New England in a spot. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And your guys were out there trying to find people that could walk. You remember that? That was an all-day deal.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
I was there. I did one of the lectures. I did some of the work. Mike Price, of course, is the major domo that runs
right.
the degree work over there. And you know, mm-hmm. you don't get to step out of the line too long with Mike. But
right.
he was. But the point is that I think was the kind of the first real use of that page of to solve problems and do something good for brothers that really needed the help at the time.
Right.
Paul Barrick and that crew, Nathan, Dana, and that, they're all to be commended for that. They did a great, great service to us. And now it's used, we do have that thing, Mike, the other Mike, we do have that thing where people do mention stuff that think is important, and you can catch on to it if you want to. But in this particular case, someone was in trouble and he needed help.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's okay.
Absolutely.
And I also think we need to bare our soul a little bit. If we got problems, I had that problem with the table lodge last year. I needed help, and I got some help through social media and through these websites and email and that kind of thing. So it's all, it can all work for us. Those are just tools.
Yeah.
Yep. Nothing special about it. There's nothing special about it. I mean, people ask for help all the time.
Mm-hmm. And that, that's a great point, about the common gavel, right? It's as we talked about, the common gavel is action, us acting in a certain way, right? And in this case, it's breaking off that part of us that's our ego that doesn't want to ask for help because we think we can do it, right? But reaching out, asking for help, that is a very proactive action that we can take to say, hey, let's get this done, but I can't do it without you. I need help. That's a wonderful point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people think that asking for help is weakness, but I don't think in our case it should be. I mean,
nope.
As Masons, I think we need to work together, and that's, I'd like to hopefully think that we'll start to change that attitude a little bit.
Yeah. Well, thanks, David.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Nice comments.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it. Let's see. Brother Benjamin, how are you this evening?
Good evening, Brother Mike.
Good evening, Brother Benjamin.
This is a great conversation that we're having, and what I'd like to do is just also share a Masonic testimony from my personal experience on my relation with the coming gavel. At the beginning, you said it so eloquently about how to knock off those rough edges and rid ourselves from the superfluous. That's almost like saying my last name, but you know what I mean. Essentially, when I first entered into Masonry and just observing and also experienced the symbolism of the common gavel and had to prepare myself for the return, and we've all been there on just looking and trying to make sure that we have our words right. But one thing that I didn't miss was getting my heart right. And that came in the form of what roughness in my life, what excess in my life, what unnecessary things in my life can I chisel away? And one of the things that I steadfast did was that I rid myself of my passion, and that was 30 years of nicotine dependency. I took it to heart saying, I need to change myself. This is an opportunity. To use the common gavel was it's not just symbolism, it was a life-changing event for myself where it wasn't easy. I'll say that much. It was almost like going to a carnival. And you go play this one game. It's called Whack-A-Mole or something like this. I'm telling you, that wall kept on popping up on me wanting to have that nicotine. But over time, I knew I wasn't just doing this for myself. I was doing this for my loved ones, for my family, for my brothers, that if I subdue myself from nicotine, that I'm going to be here longer for the long run, and I'll be able to give more to society. So that's highly important as far as when we first come into Masonry, when we have these opportunities to really not just look at the scene of the statement of this is an institution, an organization, a fraternity where good men become better. This is real tenets on how to do so, and I believe that my testimony is a living proof of what Masonry can do for an individual. And you said it, if you can't lead yourself, who can you lead?
Yep.
So I led myself out of that, and I'd like to share that. We each have our own. I always say you never know how heavy the next man's cross is that they're dragging as we're moving into Easter itself. We all have our problem, and with these tools, you can transform your life. And that's the comment I'd like to leave for my brother and all of those who are listening today.
Brother Benjamin, that is a great,
great
sharing of the situation. As an ex 3 to 4 pack a day smoker, I feel you. I've been there. I've done the whack-a-mole thing, and I haven't had a cigarette in over 10 years now. So awesome. Awesome job. I love that story. That was great.
Oh, great story. Great story. You stopped and take a look at yourself in the mirror and say, I need to take one of these tools and whack off some rough edges. How cool. Thank you, Brother Benjamin. Brother Neil, why don't you tell us who you are and where you're from?
Neil Zizelman from Sidon Lodge number 6 in Chillicothe.
Okay. Thanks, Neil.
Good evening, both of you, Mike.
Good evening.
I just wanted to share that, you know, as I'm listening to this, I'm rolling in my head the different aspects of what happened to me as I journeyed through the chairs. And it's quite amazing when I look back through the years, through the chairs, and the things that I have been able to, you know, knock off these edges. One of them, I remember being steward, you know, and I've cooked all my life, and I've been a loner in the kitchen. I've been alone in the kitchen, and when I had others in the kitchen, I didn't know what to do. I've been doing it by myself for so long, it was difficult to ask for help. And to, you know, so delegating authority or instructing others that in how to get a team approach going, that was a major issue that I had that I'm still working on, but I'm getting a lot better at it. And another issue was, you know, just leadership in general, being master is actually the first leadership role I've ever had in my life. So as I was coming up through the line, you know, there were just various aspects that started to become apparent that I needed to embrace, and part of it was understanding the various aspects of the function of the lodge. It's not just a meeting. It's not just some degree work. There's a whole vast array of different things that you must know to successfully lead the lodge, the finances of the lodge, and other things like that. And it just opening up my mind and seeing all these different things that I really didn't have a grasp on, you know. And then when you talk about it as a tool of action, I look at it as you need to be introspective and look at the issues that you have in your life, and you have to acknowledge them first before you can actually chip away at the stone. Because if you don't acknowledge that you have the issue, then, well, you're not able to take action. And, you know, as the brother before me, Benjamin, I believe, said, you know, he was with smoking there. You know, one of my issues is my weight. And we can, you know, man, talk about powerful there, knocking away and chipping away, you know, pounds. I see various things that the excesses and whatnot that, you know, I could definitely use it on. And I haven't been very successful yet, but I see that it's a very valid point and use for that tool.
Absolutely.
Those are just the things that I thought about.
Yeah. Well, great.
Now that's a great point. You talked about, I love the story about being in the kitchen, and you know, you can function in the kitchen by yourself. And one of the things that you learned was how to be successful in the kitchen when there was a team around you, right? I went into it a little bit in the book. When I first started in the hospitality industry, I was that alone chef, right? I was used to kind of quote unquote working by myself, not necessarily with a team. And so when I was first put in a management position, I was horrible. I was a horrible manager. I was that nightmare boss that nobody wanted to work for. And through, luckily, some good mentors, and then finding masonry, because I, like I said, I found masonry kind of late. I was able to you know, take these tools, look at my life, and go, "Wow, I was doing that wrong, wasn't I?" So
yes.
That's a great story. I love that.
And I'll be honest, there was guys that told me, you know, you really don't have to do this by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
All you got to do is, you know, say the word. You know, you really, we're here for you. Just ask. You know, and
let us know.
It's difficult when you've been doing it by yourself for so long. It's so ingrained that you know what needs to get done, and then actually thinking about asking someone else to do it is an added part that you need to, you know, figure in. But I'm going to tell you, when I finally figured out that if you, and here's the key to it, was figuring out, do I trust this person to do this?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I do. okay, then telling him to do it and let it go. And that, oh my, that little key right there, do I trust this guy? Sure. Is he going to get it done? Yes. Tell him to do it, he'll get it done. And when I started that thought process, oh, wow, you talk about taking worry off of your brain, taking pressure, you know, the food for the inspection, you know, the food for whatever. I did not worry one iota about it because I knew I asked the right guys to do it. They were going to get it done. I was able to focus on my other responsibilities as master because I chipped that away. I took that away. I put it where it was, where I knew it was going to get done, and that made my job so much easier and so much more enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. And that's a good story too, Neil, about empowering others.
Yes,
which is what you, the leadership lesson you learned there is that if you trust them and know them well enough and have connected with them and know what they're good at, then you can trust to, you know, empower others to do the job. And you don't have to, as you said, you got rid of some worry. You used the gavel to get rid of some worry by empowering others to do what you have been doing.
Yes.
Great story. And I gotta jump on the next to you about the weight thing. I've been using the gavel on my weight all my life, and for some reason somebody sneaks
Same
up
here.
There and sticks it back on. And that's
Same
because
here.
I think
all
I forgot
life.
About the gavel, and I've got these excesses of food show up around me, you know.
Yep.
So
especially at lodge meetings.
Yeah, especially at lodge meetings.
Inspection season.
Oh, yeah.
The inspection trail, wow.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Neil. I appreciate your
thank
comment.
You.
And,
thank you.
And
thank you. Appreciate
sharing
it.
That. It's really cool. Really cool. Well, we got a couple of minutes left. Anybody else have any thoughts about how you use the power of the gavel, how masonry empowered you to do something? We had some cool stories. Michael, before we get out of here, I want to thank you very much for joining us again. I want to invite you. You have a standing invitation to be with us every month when you can.
Well, thank you very much for your support. I greatly, greatly appreciate it. These calls are a wonderful time. I thoroughly enjoy them. And as long as I am not 35,000 feet in the air or traveling in a foreign country that puts me in a time zone that would make it difficult, I would be happy to join you again.
Yeah, well, it's nice to have a partner here in crime because, you know, sometimes thoughts don't come as quick when you're the older Mike, you get it? So standing invitation to be here every month.
Thank
we certainly appreciate it. Those who have not got their copy of Michael's book, The Working Tools of Leadership, Mike, why don't you tell them the best way to get it?
The easiest way to get it is to go to michaelkirkhab.com. That's my first name and last name, all one word, .com. And actually, right now, if you go there, there is actually to commemorate George Washington's birthday, it's actually on a 15% discount right now with a discount code, which I can provide everybody if they would want. It can also be found on the Facebook page, the Working Tools of Leadership Facebook page. But I can say that on the if you want, I can say it on here. It's up to you.
Yep, go right ahead. Yep.
Okay. So again, if you go to michaelkirkhab.com and you go to the website to check out, it's a 15% discount, which I believe puts it slightly cheaper than Amazon, so I think it turns out to be a better deal with shipping, depending on what shipping you choose. The code is TEE76Y73. And again, that's through February 22nd in honor of worshipful brother George Washington's birthday.
Tell me that code again. T?
TEE76Y73. And there's no gematria or any, you know, mystical background of that number. It's just a code that the e-commerce site generates when I want to do a discount.
That's what I thought. That secret, that, got it. Well, I encourage you to
thank
check
you for
out
letting
that
me plug
book.
That. I appreciate that.
I encourage you to get that book. And and again, it's 8 o'clock now, and we appreciate you taking the time to join in the Master Builder calls. I will remind you, our next call is next month on March 18th. That's a Wednesday night. We will, as I did this month, send out an email announcing the subject for the evening. And certainly, I'll just throw this out to anyone, if you're listening and know something that you would like us to talk about along the lines of personal improvement, using the tools of masonry and the lessons of masonry to improve our lives, shoot me an email, Mike@masonsleadbetter.com, and we'll consider your thoughts about that. Always like that to happen. So with that, I'm going to turn off the and just say goodnight, everyone, and everybody, all your brothers can say goodnight to you, all the rest of your brothers. So goodnight.
Goodnight.
Good night,
everybody.
Thanks again.
Good night, everybody. Bye. Have a good tomorrow.